Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. We're in episode 3 of our Microsoft Azure Loves Open Source series. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a senior technical evangelist for the Azure Cloud Platform here at Microsoft. And I have with me our special guest, Tommy Patterson. Hi, Tommy. How are you today?
Hey, Keith. Good to be on the show again.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us. I know we've got a really interesting topic to talk about today around the open source community in Azure. Before we get started, do you want to give everyone a brief intro of yourself, your background, your role at Microsoft?
Sure. So, I think aside from the most of the people that are on my team that have been here a while, I kind of come from that background of, some of the competition products around virtualization and more desktop virtualization and monitoring, management, reporting on how hybrid cloud and, well, both hybrid cloud, public cloud, and private work. So this was a real treat because when VMware first came out, it was all, had a real open source feel to it, especially with the Red Hat that was embedded in it. And we would use command line and open source quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We showed that VM piece off already in a couple of our episodes. But today we're going to have a slightly different feel. So we're going to talk more about the PaaS play.
Okay, great. Yeah, and that's a good point, Tommy. The last couple episodes, we've been focused really on infrastructure as a service and virtual machines and running Linux for either database servers, MySQL servers in our last episode, or web applications in our first episode. But I think today we're going to talk a little bit differently about deploying open source web applications on the Azure cloud, right? More of a platform as a service play.
Absolutely. And I think, before we dive into a demo of how that works, I just want to show the different stacks or abilities that go on in Azure and where we're going to fit this in.
Okay.
So the first piece, if you look to the right side of the screen, you're going to see there's data center connectivity up to Azure data centers. There's VPN connectivity. There's, if you look to the left, you see infrastructure services, which are available either on an on-prem virtualization stack or on a data services stack that can kind of scale between the two. And then mm-hmm. we're talking about app services, which is websites, cloud services, high performance computing, which we're going to talk, in a different episode. Today what we're going to do is fit into websites.
Okay.
So.
Great. And I think websites was recently renamed and rebranded, right, to Azure Web Apps. So depending on which version of various documentation and resources people are looking at, they may see Azure Websites or Azure Web Apps reference, but they're both really talking about the same feature set within Azure, right? Being able to host web applications through a platform as a service offering?
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think we highlighted that a lot during Ignite. We talked about the new web app services and it does get confusing with so many different ways of titling the same thing. But I think the evolution is also taking place on how we do it. So, in the very beginning when Microsoft came out with Azure and we were, and I always go back to the analogy that two of the big players in the market went toward the PaaS role, and one of the big players went toward the IaaS role. Mm. And, both did well in certain areas, but it became very evident that customers need to have that complete stack where we have an IaaS play and a PaaS play, which can also gravitate up to a SaaS play.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's important, right? That customers with Azure, when they're deploying and managing open source applications, they can really choose. Does it make sense to use IaaS or PaaS or a combination of the two? I know lots of customers and partners that are using Azure Web Apps for hosting the web and application tier of their open source application, and then perhaps connecting it onto a VNet and talking to a MySQL cluster that's running in VMs. And it really depends on where they need the most customizability and where they want the best agility, right? So today we're going to be talking more about that platform as a service offering around Azure Web Apps for running open source applications. And so we're going to be focused in on application solutions where a customer or partner organization can really hone in on just managing the application itself and not have to worry about the underlying OS and other patching requirements and things of that nature like they would have to if it were a full VM. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep. I mean, the whole DevOps cycle is really starting to take charge across the world, and not having the ability to hone in on what's best for each given scenario, how do we keep that, how do we keep the cycle going where mm-hmm. we do dev, test, roll to prod, and then vice versa, going backward if you need to, which we're going to talk about slots today, which is really, really cool. But I don't want to give away too much. Let's talk through the rest of this. And I think we all know this already. I'm not going to show this for very long. But IaaS to PaaS to SaaS, basically what you're doing is you're speeding up the development process and the ease of use, and you're bringing down cost as you come down this track, right? In most cases, right? So that's what we're talking about today. We're playing in that cloud services PaaS play, right? And if you want to look at it from a different point of view, what does that look like on-prem versus in the cloud? All right, so if you look at what you manage as an admin, from an infrastructure as a service play, you manage a whole lot more. OS, middleware, runtime, data, applications. But from a PaaS play, you really are only managing that application piece, which today we're talking about Node.js. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of other ones. So, you know, you asked me what are some of the popular ones. I would say, you know, WordPress.
Is a PHP. Common application.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And PHP and Node is coming up quite often.
Yeah.
That's one of the bigger ones. Cool.
Well, that's one of the common questions I get. When people hear about our PaaS offerings, the initial reaction they have is, hey, isn't Azure Web Apps about running just Microsoft Stack web applications, ASP.NET applications? And you're absolutely right. You know, Web Apps supports Node.js, PHP. It supports Tomcat. It supports a wide variety of open source platforms for running web apps as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was in a conversation the other day. I was at a dance recital, and I saw a guy. I know he's very traditional Linux. And he said he was having problems with one of his cloud providers. He was having network issues, and it took him 3 days to get through them. And I said, man, you come on over to Azure. And he goes, no, I can't run on Windows.
Yeah.
And I just had to stop him. I'm like, you know, we run everything else. We run Linux. We run Node. We Docker, Chef. All that stuff plugs right in. The open source market likes us now. And he was like, oh, I might have to come over and see you. So,
great.
Yeah, quite
great.
Interesting.
Well, that's great, Tommy. So far we've talked about some of the different cloud models and how organizations and IT pros can leverage them together or separate, depending on their needs, to walk that line between deployment customizability and deployment speed and agility, right? So let's drill down more specifically to our topic today. We're talking about deploying open source web apps on the Azure Cloud Platform. And you know, you had mentioned Node.js. Node.js is a really popular web platform. So can we kind of walk through some of the steps of getting started with deploying a web app?
Absolutely, Keith. Let's jump in. Cool. So we're in the generally available portal, the production portal, Keith. We're going to talk about the preview portal here in just a bit, but I like to start here. There are still some things we haven't got into the preview portal that we're still working on. That's why we call it the preview. So in this portal, the production portal, this is everything I have deployed today. And I can say it's deployed. Maybe some of it's not running. Like you'll see the status says stop. Some of it says online. My storage accounts are here. My cloud services I've created. But I also got some web apps. Now, my virtuallycloud9.com runs on Azure, runs in WordPress. And that is actually running in my account. But my I've recently deployed a Node.js site. I'm going to jump into this in a second, but what I want to first do is talk about how we get there. How do we deploy it? So the new button, bottom left-hand corner, new web app. So that's under the compute section. And then you have a couple of options here. I generally skip quick create. Custom create's cool if you know what you want to do specifically. But let's look at from gallery. From gallery is going to show me all of the different web app templates that are already available to me. You'll see Drupal, There's so many in here that you can't list them all off in probably one webinar, but we're going to scroll on down. You'll see Joomla, you'll see Node.js. We have two different options. We have an empty web app, which for our advanced users who already have the Node.js packages already figured out what they're going to deploy, this is where they want to go. Then we have starter site. I went this route just because it's simple to use, simple to get started with. And if you hit next, you give it a name. Now, what you're going to notice as somebody that's starting out with this, it's always going to append a .azurewebsites.net. If you're looking to get certified in Azure, you're probably going to notice that this comes up on the test quite a bit. What are the extensions that come out, or the domain endings that come on to each of the things you put in? So if I say Tommy's Node Test, all right, looks like it's good. Notice what it just did. It looked to see around the world, does this resolve already? It does not, so it's allowed. Mm-hmm. Let's just have it in. Then we have our web scale group. Now, these are all just set up with different app service plans that you can create. I've created just a couple that are based on the East U.S. And then what subscription I'm using. If you have multiple subscriptions, you could pick different ones. You can pick those here. I'm just going to leave it at my defaults for now. And I hit next, or hit the complete marker. That's pretty much it for creating the deploying this template. So if I hit check mark, it's going to go ahead and deploy. And what we'll see is it says creating. Now, while that's going out and creating, I'm going to jump into my site that I've already created. You get a dashboard with every site. So the dashboard's going to have metrics there showing you HTTP server errors or CPU time, data in, data out, what your requests look like, how long your request took. If you look down a bit, you can configure the auto scale option. We're going to talk about that in just a second. You can see your file system usage, storage usage. So this is just a real quick glance of how things look. You also see on the right-hand side, you're going to see your FTP host, your FTPS host name, what the deployment FTP user is. This is key, especially if you're using like FileZilla or any of the other FTP file clients out there. You're going to need to know what that username and password are. And you can see where it's running, what subscription it's in, and that kind of thing. Mm. Viewing connection strings is here in case you need to connect to your website and use connection strings, you can do so. And also, if you want to reset your published profile credentials, you can do that as well. Notice I have in the bottom right, add a new deployment slot. Now, we haven't mm-hmm. talked about what that technology is yet. What deployment slots are a way of deploying your code to separate slots, per se. I guess I should come up with another name to throw in there. But a slot in the system, and we're not talking about the traditional use of the word slot. I mean, Keith, you probably heard slot in the data center quite a bit, and it referred to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's world, in the cloud world, we're not talking about slots in a blade chassis. We're actually talking about slots of virtualized compute. So what we do is we'll put the package, say the Node.js package you've created, we can put multiple different copies, and they could be different revisions, out into different slots. And mm-hmm. then you can have your workloads work across those slots.
So it might be something if, like from a DevOps standpoint, right? Do you see a lot of customers using it for having a QA and a staging and a UAT and then a production slot and being able to Absolutely. Manage their code that way?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I've added it. And the cool part about this is you can have the slots run and they have a different name. So they'll take on the, if you look over to the right-hand side here, and I kind of zoom in, see if we can... Mm-hmm. I don't have my zoom going here. But if you zoom in, you can look here. Tommy's Node.js site dash Tommy's Node.js site dev. So it's automatically taking that on. And I could be running a different set of code here. Maybe it's this the code in dev that I'm going to be testing out to roll later.
Right.
And then if you look at the bottom, you'll see swap. Swap will allow me to swap out the code sections, or actually the linkage, so that the production site that's being resolved on the internet for Node.js site.azurewebsites.net actually gets switched with the code that's in dev. So that slot becomes the primary slot that all the users are hitting.
Hmm. And if
Very
I have
fast.
a yeah, if I have a problem with that swap, can I just as easily swap back to kind of go back to my prior release of code?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, the errors go both ways. So that's if I need to switch back really fast, I can. In fact, I'm going to show a little bit more advanced stuff when we get into the preview portal. But for now, I want to just stay here for a second. So we're in.
I also noticed that the site that we set up just a few seconds ago, it looks like it in like 15, 20, 30 seconds we were talking, is up and running already. I mean, that's a lot faster than deploying an entire VM on any platform, right? Is that pretty common, the real fast deployment speeds with Azure Web Apps?
Absolutely. This is why I think this goes back to the original decision that Microsoft had of entering into the cloud as a PaaS play, because mm-hmm. it's so fast. It's so efficient.
Gotcha.
And now if you have the ability to start out in virtual machines to get your app code tweaked and perfected, mm-hmm. and then you want to move to PaaS, it's very simple to do here in Azure.
Gotcha. Yep.
No slots have been added, so you'll notice that the new node test that I created has no slots added, and if I want mm-hmm. to, I can create some.
Sure.
But first, let's go back up and look at the dashboard again. I want to go back into our Node.js site because there's a couple of things we need to do here in order to take advantage. So if we go to the scale area, if we come over here, you need to be into the standard layer here before you can start doing any of the scaling that's taking place. And if you look at what that means, that says what's the capacity for that slot, right? The name mm-hmm. of the primary slot, the secondary slot. What's that size supposed to be? One core, 1.75 gig or more, like I can expand up.
Mm-hmm.
I can also schedule times for it to burst. If I want to, I could set up scheduled times for this to burst up and have more than one instance. I can base it on CPU. So if I want to, if I click over to CPU, I can say, hey, let's run it. Let's go ahead and burst up to more instances once I hit certain thresholds, and then burst down. And last I heard, Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically it's going to burst up as it sees each instance hit those mile markers, and then as it sees it come down past those, it'll wait an hour and then spin them down. Mm-hmm. That way we're not just chopping users off.
Right. Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's based on averages, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So really easy to set up. You can do it with scheduled times, specifically like if you're in the retail market, the store is going to be open between, noon and 5 on Saturday with a huge sale, and you want to have some type of web flyers going out or a lot of web traffic going to be hitting at the same time, have it scale up automatically at those times. Mm-hmm. So really easy to use here. So just wanted to hit on that really quickly. Backups, which I think I'm going to go ahead and disregard those settings I took. Backups is something else. This has actually saved me twice on my WordPress site because I deployed a questionable add-on into WordPress and it actually took my site down. I should have deployed a slot first and then deployed the add-on, I know, but I didn't. But having that automated backup is huge. It lets me set up a storage account. Where do I want to keep all my backups for that particular site? The frequency, all this stuff is set up for you. And you can also include databases if you have the connection strings defined in the web app.
Gotcha.
So I think that's pretty cool.
So you were using NoOps for your deployment of your WordPress.
That's right. Yeah. I'm the example of what not to do with your site. Good thing is I had backups automatically running in Azure, so that was cool. All right, top right corner, I clicked on my particular user that I'm logged in. This is my internal account. I switch over to Azure Preview Portal, and it's going to take us into the preview. I like talking through the slots on the preview and some of the other areas much better because some of the feature and functionality we're deploying here are fantastic. So let's jump into that. It's going to take just a second. All right. So this is our dashboard or our start screen, start panel. There's different names that are going around that people will call this. But if you look over to the right, you'll notice I've already pinned my Node.js site here. So why is this important? Well, as an admin, let's say you've got multiple admins involved, or you've got some help desk folks involved that only need to see certain parts of your subscription. Mm-hmm. Well, we can create dashboards and resource groups and fine-tune who sees what in this new preview portal much, much better than we can in the old portal. And pinning is very simple. Plus, you can use tags, word tags, so you can do easy searches for specific application types or resources. I'll show you really quickly. If you go to New, Create, it's going to give you a list of things, web apps, and let you go out and deploy, just very similar to what we did in the production portal. But what you're going to see is it's a slim list of things that are available right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to skip this right now since we already have a web app deployed. I'm going to go ahead and close these out, go back to my home screen, and jump into my Node.js site. So let's let that load. And once it does, we'll see the monitoring is first and foremost. That's what's up front. And it lets us see, you know, if there's any requests or errors really quickly. What are the essential pieces of the site? Where is it running? Is it running? I think that's probably one of the better ones. then you see the all settings here, mm-hmm. or up here in the top menu ribbon. And this gives us where we can jump into some of the application settings, domain settings. For instance, if I want to use a custom domain, as I alluded earlier, all the sites come with this .azurewebsites.net. And the first thing people might think are, well, I really want to use my custom website name. And this is where we can actually go do that now with bringing our own external addresses. So this is where you would go out and do a verification.
Okay. So your own branded domain name and potentially SSL certificates that are bound to that domain name.
Correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's harden your site a little bit. Also make it user-friendly to find versus something .azurewebsites.net. from a deployment slots scenario, so this is going to take us into what slots we already have on the site. I'll go ahead and get in here. And we'll see Node.js. Node.js site dev. So this is my deployment slot that I have already deployed. I can click add slot, and it's going to ask me a series of questions. What do I want to give for a name? And I can just say Tommy Test, just something really quickly. But look at what I get to do. I get to clone the configuration from any existing slot. So really quickly make another website exactly the same as the one you already have. I mean, in a DevOps scenario, this is huge.
Yeah, allows you to clone a site, make some changes, test them out, and then if you like the changes, swap it over to production, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Really like this feature. So let me get out of here. I'm going to discard my changes. We don't need another slot for now. I'm going to go in and look at some of the other things here. I like the traffic routing. Traffic routing and extensions and traffic manager, really big features. I like how what you can do is you can say, hey, my production slot gets 100% of my traffic, but let's start throwing some stuff into dev and have, say, let's go ahead and throw 50% of our traffic at dev. And once I've added that in, now production and my dev site are going to split the traffic. I can start watching for errors on those on my dev site to see, hey, was it seamless or not? I can even make that 10%. You know, whatever I'd like.
Gotcha. So for like a staging scenario where you had some new code changes that you wanted to do some A/B testing with for users, yeah, that sounds like a great feature.
Yep. And then Traffic Manager is going to let you split that up across the country. We probably could do a whole show on that. I'm not going to go into it too deep. But Traffic Manager would let you split up traffic. Say if you've got users logging in California, then you'd probably want them to hit your web farm that's running in the cloud over on the West Coast versus the ones that are running over here on the East Coast.
So global load balancing.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, gotcha.
Yep. Very simple to deploy, very easy. from a scale perspective, if you're in the preview portal, you're going to get some of the same features or main features that you have in the other. It looks a little different. Not too much, but a little bit different here. And you can see schedule and performance rules based. And it's going to change here and drop down and add. Let me add a profile and give me a new area and what's called the journey that I can use to define it. Give it a name, give it a range, and how I want that to scale up and scale down. So new stuff coming. But, you know, for now, stick to the production portal if you're doing some production workloads. Preview portal still, you know, just know that things may change. It's tough to do videos with the preview portal because we do make changes regularly, tweaking and making things better.
Yep. Azure's always getting better, right? Always changing, always adding new features.
Yep. So let me close out of this. One of the things, the other things you'll notice, if you want to, when it comes to, oops, hold on, clicked a little too fast there. I'm going to close out of my subscription. When it comes to changing out, let me make this bigger. When it comes to going in and looking through everything that you have on your site, you've got a console here, which is opening up a command line-like console directly to that running instance. You can see what processes are running.
Oh, okay. So even though I don't have full access into like a VM, it looks like I still have the ability to see kind of what's going on, get to a CLI, inspect the file system of my website or my web app, and have some basic control, right, of it for being able to troubleshoot or manage that site?
Correct. I mean, this is great. The console for this particular one. I can, you know, change directories, make directories, move files around, that kind of thing.
Okay, awesome.
Very cool. I can see what processes are running if I want to. I can look at the logs, the streaming logs.
Mm-hmm.
Scrolling down a bit, I can connect to virtual networks. So getting back to the original picture that we showed when we first started the PowerPoint, we showed that on-prem data center connected up to Azure with a VPN connection. This might be a way to let people internally see one slot or, you know, have deployment and dev working through a back-channeled virtual network connection from, not publicly seen yet, and see that site versus have, the public site already there for anybody that's on the internet or on-prem to see. So this is there's different scenarios that can fall into this, but.
Yeah, I suppose that could be a great scenario for that hybrid IaaS PaaS approach, right? So that if you had a web application deployed under Azure Web Apps, but it needed to talk to maybe a MySQL database that was running on a Linux VM, or a Linux cluster in your virtual network, that seems like a great option for doing that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you'll see the pricing tier. And a lot of people ask for this. They're like, well, what's the cost? Everybody wants to know the cost, of course. If you go, it shows you an estimated spend based on what your application usage is, you know, per month. And it looks at the default tier and says, you know, based on the workload that this machine's doing, it's going to give you that estimated spend. You can also see from a breakdown of pricing, if you look through from the main home page of the portal. So if I go back to my home screen, you can see what the billing looks like across your entire subscription, and then notice where the latest thing you've deployed is you know, breaking down and see how things work. If I scroll down a bit, I should see my subscription. I can drill into it, and I can see how many days left. This is an MSDN type of subscription. It's going to reset itself. Then I'm going to see how many days left until that reset occurs.
Sure. Okay.
Days into the cycle.
Yeah.
If I scroll down, I can start seeing who's using what. What's using what in this particular role. It's going to take a minute to refresh, so I'll let that go because we're not talking strictly about pricing today. But that is all more present in this new preview portal than something you see in the production portal today.
Great. Well, that looks very useful.
Very cool.
Wow, Tommy, thanks for walking through that demo. We covered a ton of territory today in regards to options beyond just running VMs on the Azure Cloud for being able to run and manage open source web applications using our platform as a service or PaaS offerings, solutions like Azure Web Apps. So, Tommy, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time, and I'm sure everyone tuning in got a lot out of today's episode.
Excellent. Thanks, Keith. I'm going to put up a resource link slide now with some links on it. One of the cool ones, there's a Virtual Academy Jumpstart, which Stacy Mulcahy did, that is fantastic for Node.js just to get started. It's about building apps and also talking across apps, so really good stuff for the cloud there. Second link is going to be, or another link on there is going to be TechNet Virtual Labs, where you can deploy your own Node.js application.
Oh, nice.
Very similar. Yeah, very similar to what we did today, but it's built all in a console where you just log in through a web page and go through it yourself. So, you know, nothing to lose there, folks, if you want to learn how to try it. That's that TechNet Virtual Labs. And then two more links that are blog posts on how to do it that are on off of Azure.
Great. Well, today. We'll be sure to cross-post those resources down at the bottom of the page that everybody's watching today's episode on. Well, folks, thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode on running open-source Node.js web apps on the Azure platform. Tommy, thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode in Microsoft Azure Loves Open Source. Thanks, everybody.
Awesome. Thanks, Keith.